From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. How to regulate drivers for rideshare app-based transportation services like Uber and Lyft has become a contentious issue here in Florida. Should such services have to follow the same rules as traditional taxicab companies and drivers? Local municipalities in the state have drawn different conclusions to that question, and the issue has led to multiple lawsuits against the state. Some are calling for a statewide rule. We'll hear from both sides. Plus, according to the National Education Association, an estimated 160,000 children miss school every day due to fear of an attack or intimidation by other students. This next month will mark National Bullying Prevention Month. We'll take a closer look at Florida laws addressing bullying and efforts to identify and address bullying here in our local schools. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. As next month will mark National Bullying Prevention Month, we explore the current status of Florida law when it comes to addressing bullying and what local schools do to train staff to identify and address bullying. That conversation's coming up later this hour. But first, a consortium of Florida taxi companies and an Uber customer have filed a lawsuit against the State Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services for not testing measuring devices used by rideshare app drivers with companies like Uber and Lyft the same way traditional taxi service meters are checked. Last week, the Tallahassee-based Andrews Law Firm filed a second lawsuit against the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, claiming the state doesn't require app-based transportation services to carry proper insurance. Last week, Governor Rick Scott made a statement indicating he'd back legislation in the 2016 state legislative session to better accommodate transportation services like Uber and Lyft. Meanwhile, on the local level, Florida municipalities have been grappling with how to address regulations for Uber and Lyft compared to rules for traditional taxi service providers. Palm Beach and Broward counties have taken steps to regulate Uber drivers the same way taxi drivers are regulated, through background checks and insurance coverage requirements, among others. In Miami-Dade County, tickets totaling $2.72 million have been issued in the past year to rideshare app service drivers, as such operations are illegal there. And facing the threat that Uber would pull its services altogether, the city of Sarasota commissioners recently abandoned plans to regulate rideshare app transportation services and instead voted to strip regulations on taxicabs. These lawsuits and discrepancies in regulations have led some to call for statewide rules on the operation of companies like Uber and Lyft. Should drivers of rideshare app transportation services be held to the same standards as taxi drivers? Joining me for a closer discussion of the issue is we have Roger Chapin. He's Vice President of Public Affairs for Mears Transportation Group and is a member of the Florida Taxi Cab Association. Thanks for joining us today, Roger.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're joined by City of Sarasota Commissioner and Vice Mayor Susan Atwell. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we're talking with Republican State Representative Rich Workman of Melbourne. He represents State House District 52. In addition to his work in the Florida legislature, he's Director of Business Development at Kaiser University and an Uber driver. Representative Workman, thanks for your time today as well.
Great. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
And we want to hear from our listeners. Should Uber and Lyft drivers have to follow the same regulations as traditional taxicab companies and drivers? Connect with our guests with your phone calls to 877-GCU-TALK. That's 1-877-428-8255. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media, or join the live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And Roger, let's begin with you. First of all, tell us about Florida's current regulatory environment when it comes to the operation of taxi cabs and similar transportation services. What do drivers and companies have to do? You know, background checks, regular inspections of cab meters, of course, insurance requirements. Tell us about that.
Sure. Traditionally, taxi cab companies have been regulated primarily on the local level. They include things like background checks. They include insurance verification, vehicle inspections. Often it includes a fee for a permit that can range anywhere from $250 to $500. Permits, that money then goes towards enforcement efforts. Certain lettering and decals to let the public know they're a vehicle for hire. regulatory structures at airports, seaports, convention centers, where those drivers are typically required to pay a fee to pick up there if they're picking up a passenger for hire. So those are some of the traditional local issues. There are a couple of overriding state statutes. The two that you mentioned earlier, one relates to the meter, weights and measures, and the other relates to financial responsibility insurance.
And would you characterize these rules and regulations as necessary for the safety of, you know, both passengers and drivers, or do you think they're sometimes overly stringent?
I think we're finding that there's probably some that can go away. I think we would also, I mean, we'd certainly say that if they are going to go away for Uber and Lyft drivers, then they certainly should go away for some others. I think you saw Sarasota come to that conclusion where they just said, you know, we're not going to pick winners and losers. We're just going to deregulate. Having worked in this industry for over 15 years, I would say, unfortunately, that would be the you know, you should keep some insurance verification. You should have some background checks. And I know that Uber and the technology associated with their app lets you do things that haven't traditionally, you know, you haven't traditionally been able to do, rate passengers, see a picture of your driver. But I would also argue that, in a way, when you take an Uber trip, it's even more personal. So I think there is a need for higher levels of background check, or at least the same. The driver is oftentimes picking you up at your home. You're oftentimes one-on-one in the car with the driver. They've got a picture of you. You've got a picture of them. You've exchanged cell phone numbers. So I just think that there are probably some regulatory and market barriers that need to go away, and I've testified to that in Tallahassee. But there's probably some safety and insurance requirements that should stay.
Do you think, as things stand now, that you know, the regulatory environment for companies like Uber and Lyft kind of give them an unfair advantage compared to taxi companies?
I don't think they give them an unfair advantage. I think Uber and Lyft take advantage of them. Uber and Lyft simply will not comply with any regulatory structure. They've proven that. So, you know, you've had cities and counties kind of try to bend over backwards to accommodate Uber, and until you essentially adopt their plan 100%, they threaten to leave. I mean, it would be like a new coffee company coming to town and said, we're not going to open in your city if we have to put in sprinklers for fire hazard. They just don't want to comply. And I understand why they don't want to comply. It costs money to comply.
Do you think that as services like Uber and Lyft have been growing in popularity, what impact has that had on the bottom line, you know, for traditional taxi services and for the drivers?
Well, there certainly has been an impact, but the impact you can see is the fact that we're paying 24/7 commercial liability insurance for every vehicle. They are not. We think they should be required to. We think the statute's clear. You know, we are paying permit fees. We are paying to pick up at the airports. They are not. Those are the primary glaring differences, you know, in front of us at the moment.
Okay. And City of Sarasota Vice Mayor Suzanne Atwell, from what I've read, it seems like most county and city government bodies that have taken up this issue have tried to take steps toward further regulation of rideshare app transportation services. But the City of Sarasota really kind of went in the other direction. Can you give us some more context on what went down at the City Commission's meeting's recent vote on this?
Sure. That was a couple weeks ago. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show. Yes, this was made a lot of news, our decision, and this was a unanimous vote by all five of the commissioners, which was very interesting. You know, a little background on how I feel that, you know, I mean, we all know we're in a changing economy. We're a part-time economy, and we're certainly in an economy that has emerging blurred boundaries, and it's been disruptive. And guess what? I mean, you can go back to other companies, Amazon and the like, that have been disruptive and called for all this. You know, this is the future, and it just is. And we as a city, the way I feel, we as a city need to be responsive, welcoming, and prepared for it. And in this case, Uber and other transportation network companies are a great example of this. They cater to the needs of an increasing diverse population. And as far as regulations are concerned, we sat there the other night trying to the angst in the struggle of carving out regulations on twin ordinances, one for Uber, one for the taxi cab. Really, really frustrating. There is not an equal playing field. Uber is a different dynamic, and we shouldn't. And I can't emphasize this enough. We shouldn't be defending the taxi cabs against their competitors. This is not what a municipality, city commission should be doing, because then you get into the territory of overregulating and legislating the market, which we shouldn't be doing. And carving out regulations that may fly in the face of that market. And what I say to this, I think one of the commissioners said that we need to see what Tallahassee is going to do, and you mentioned what Governor Scott wants to do. But we as legislators in our city, I think we were getting to the point where, and I like your line, that we were not going to pick winners or losers. This was not our job, and I think I submit that this is a challenge. Our vote sends a message. It sends a challenge to not only the taxi cab drivers, but to Uber, that we need to create something that you're going to be great for everybody, both cabs and Uber, and try to make this a level playing field. That's what the market's all about.
Well, and Vice Mayor Atwell, was there maybe even, I don't want to say angst, but maybe just a little bit of an issue of why are we at the city level dealing with this? Why don't we have a statewide regulation? Is that something that you'd be looking to support?
Well, right now I can't answer for all of us, but sure. I'm looking to see what happens in Tallahassee. Absolutely. This is ever emerging. Uber is emerging. This is a new day, a new economy for the taxi cab companies. And it's a struggle, it's a challenge, but I think ultimately, hopefully in the 2016 session, that we'll get something out of this. But I think we would have been at odds with our neighboring communities all over the place in whatever we decided to do as far as carving out our ordinances. A little bit of this, and then the Uber doesn't have to do that, and then it was getting to the point where, okay, we're going to deregulate. Because eventually from there, we will get some more. Now, I don't know. I think I would like to see something that everybody feels pretty good about, and that we have a level playing field. And, hey, you know, there's going to be competition. And I feel that you're going to get some better cab companies out of this. Everybody has to step up to the plate.
What was the response at that meeting a couple weeks ago when the commission took this unanimous vote?
It was, you have to understand, it was standing room only and probably 120 people there. Clearly, a lot of Uber supporters. I took Uber there that night, and for full disclosure, I stated that I came to work this evening in an Uber, and I hope to go home in an Uber. And that just, of course, you know that's going to get thundering applause. Okay. But however someone wants to look at it. But look, I'm a citizen and I'm doing my homework. I had to do my homework to find out what Uber was like. I've taken thousands of cab rides in my life, and they've been fine, some not so fine. It's all going to be emerging. By the way, if my understanding is, and I've taken many Uber rides, something goes wrong in Uber, in your Uber car, they're going to know about it in New Zealand. Whereas cabs, you won't know about it so far away. That's the structure of this site and the how they're doing this. And we need to be mindful of that. I mean, it's all been disruptive, but that's not a bad thing in right. this changing economy.
Well, and I do understand not everybody was happy. I think there was one gentleman I read about in the Herald Tribune who was a taxi driver and kind of threw down his badge and said, I won't be needing this anymore, and walked off.
That's right. It was an initial reaction. I think he spoke to someone afterwards that and that's absolutely true. He had he and a few other taxi cab drivers have come before us, absolutely. And a lot of the hue and cry for them was, well, the app is great, what Uber and Lyft are doing. It's great, but make it a level playing field. Well, that directive to our legislative body, the city commission, was very, very difficult. So that task, to me, was hard enough that we just unanimously said, let's deregulate now. And you know, we've gotten some comments about if you deregulate, what's going to happen. I have more faith in my citizens as we work this out legislatively in the state government.
All right. Well, we're also joined now by attorney and prominent Florida lobbyist Ron Book. And I apologize. It was entirely my fault in terms of scheduling that he was not here at the beginning of the conversation. But thank you so much for accommodating us and welcome to the program.
Thank you. And I'm sorry I missed the beginning of the vice mayor's comments. I don't want it in any way to be taken as disrespectful. So I apologize. I did hear the last several minutes, though. But open to start with whatever questions you would like me to respond to.
Sure. Well, just, you know, as I understand, one of the interests you represent as a lobbyist in Tallahassee is the Florida Taxi Cab Association. Tell us a little bit about what some of their concerns are with, you know, Florida's regulatory environment here.
Well, let's so that I get it completely, I not only represent the Taxi Cab Association, I have the State Limo Association as well. And I've represented the transportation industry on and off for a very long time. And the good news, bad news, I've been coming to the state capitol for over 41 years. As a staff guy in the legislature, and I worked for a governor for 4 years, and I've been in the private sector as a lobbyist since 1982. So I've been here a long time, and I was here when the issue of regulating rates and regulating the livery system of transportation in our state was actually regulated at the Public Service Commission. And everybody at the city and county levels were screaming and yelling and complaining. They wanted that regulation to be localized. And the Public Service Commission and the legislature obliged, and they sent that to the local government. Why? Because the local governments, in whether you're in Collier County or you're in Lee County or you're in Palm Beach County or you're in Miami-Dade or Broward or Orange or Duval or Hillsborough or Pinellas or Leon County, where I'm talking to you from today, your transportation issues are different. They're all different, whether you're in the taxi cab world, whether you're in the limousine world, or you're in the Uber-Lyft world. You know, Uber and Lyft wanted people to believe that they were the only people with an app. Well, lots of taxi cab and limo companies around the state had apps and could tell you, you know, where their cabs or their limos were and could respond. But at the end of the day, I don't think the limousine world or the taxi cab world has a problem with Uber and Lyft, but they need to play by the same rules everybody else plays by. And if the free marketplace was good for the acquisition of taxi cab permits in one community or limousine permits or tags in another community, then Uber should play by that same market. And by the way, in New York, that's what they did. They went out into the marketplace, and they operate basically with the same kind of system that the taxi cab and limos do. Maybe some adjustments in local regulation have to happen, but they should have the same obligation to carry insurance to protect the community and its citizens, and they should have to have the same kind of rated company to do that, and it shouldn't simply be when the passenger's in the vehicle. It should be when they're out on the roads, period. And I ran somebody over or I ran into somebody, but I didn't have somebody in my vehicle. There's no liability. That's just not in the consumer, in the public's best interest. But I think that at the end of the day, all the limo and taxi people said is, they should play by the same rules we have to play by. And if it was good for us, then it's good for them. And just because Google invested $350 million or $690 million into Uber or a group of investors invested several billion dollars, and all of a sudden it's a company that venture capitalists and investors on Wall Street care about, that we should upend our system of protections for our consumers, that's not right. And by the way, by the way, the last time I checked, and I'm not part of the lawsuit that was recently filed, but the last time I checked, the Uber and Lyft people are supposed to keep track where I could tell how far did I go, how much was I charged. And the essence of a lawsuit that was recently filed on behalf of some companies in Broward County and Leon County are to force the state to enforce the law at the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services to make certain that the public is not in any way, shape, or form being abused in what they're charged based on distance or surge pricing or some other thing that, that just gets triggered at some point in time in the middle of a ride.
To that end, I wanted to point out Attorney Ryan Andrews, who did file that lawsuit, particularly looking at how Uber, how those fares are calculated and whether or not we're watching that. He pointed out to a case of a woman in Brooklyn who was charged $12,000 for what was roughly a 7-minute ride. I guess my question would be more towards Suzanne Atwell and Rich Workman, Representative Workman. Should we have maybe more scrutiny over how those rides are calculated to make sure that, you know, mistakes like that don't happen?
Time out. Is my friend Representative Rich Workman on this call with us?
He is.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. I did not know that the respected chairman of the Rules Committee was on this call. And I must tell you that while I may not love Uber, I love Rich Workman.
All right.
And that this love fest is mutual. Hey, I appreciate you having me on today. And first, let me say that it's nice to have Representative Mears on the call, probably a model as to what all taxi cab companies should look like. I know of them from Orlando. I've taken their cabs. They're clean. Their drivers are respectful, excellent company. And Ron Book, obviously, an excellent lobbyist. And believe it or not, if I may disappoint you, I'm not here to advocate on behalf of Uber. As a driver, I'm almost like doing research on the ins and outs of this company, and you'll be surprised how much I agree with some of the things that Mears said, that Mears' representative said. Like, for example, if rideshare companies, if taxi companies pay a fee to pick up at an airport, well, then so should Uber companies, and I would advocate for that. I'm not sure I'm in favor of a law that preempts to the state. I think locals should handle this. That ship has not yet sailed. I'll look to see what legislation comes before the body this year. There might be some common sense legislation that the taxi cab companies and Uber and Lyft will mutually benefit by and may push for some state preemption. I would look into that. But Ron would tell you that I've always tried to push things back to home rule. Where I disagree is, as an Uber driver, I drive my car. I have my own private insurance. When I have a paid passenger in my car, my insurance switches to Uber's insurance, commercial insurance. It gives all the same coverages of a taxi. My issue is, you don't know if I'm driving to the supermarket or if I'm driving to my job. I often drive in between other chores, other private business in my private car. But when I pick somebody up, I'm now a rideshare business. That consumer in my car, as well as those on the outside, need to be protected with increased commercial insurance. The difference is you can't flag me down. Taxis are brightly lit. They have signs on the roof to know if they're vacant or not, so you can flag them down. And as a result, they carry that commercial insurance every time that car is rolling because it is on duty. Everything it does is for commercial use. My private vehicle, not so. So there's a difference there. I want to make sure we explore that so that locals can figure out how they want to regulate that. And as far as regulation at a local level goes, and I'll wrap up here, is I think it's time to start to deregulate the taxi industry. Remember, they are, I will actually say the word, overregulated today because of past past actions, 20, 30, 50 years ago, where, a Miami airport passenger would be picked up. They have no idea where they're going. They say Hilton, and the guy drives around for 2 hours and drops it off at Hilton across the street from the airport. I think it was Governor Martinez that said, we must stop this, right? Mm-hmm. We must stop abusing our citizens. And as a result, over the years, more and more regulation have piled on top of taxi cab companies and their drivers. I think technology, I don't mean the Uber app, I mean technology being unveiled by taxi companies as we speak, TV screens in the back seat that show where you started, where you're going, what the fastest route is, gives consumers a level of protection, and the government doesn't need to overdo it. The government doesn't have to regulate for the sake of regulation. And so I think as technology grows in the taxi cab industry, they will see a deregulation as well. And remember, yeah. I'm regulated as a driver directly by my consumer. They know who I am, where I'm being picked up, where they're being dropped off. They watch me drive the entire time. They're not identical programs. I think at the end of the day, there's room for taxi cabs that get flagged down and private rideshare companies like Uber. And there will be room for both. And how they're regulated is yet to be seen.
Well, Representative Workman, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just interrupting. This is Suzanne Alwell. I was just going to say I love what he said as far as as we advance in technology, there is going to be a level of protection. This is going to change the whole dynamic. I agree with pretty much everything he said. We did deregulate the taxi cabs so that we can figure this out. They're entering a new phase, too. I mean, absolutely, as we new technology is unveiled, as you say, that's a challenge, as I said before, to the not only Uber, but to the taxi companies, and you're going to have a new wave of ride-sharing and taxis that will rise to the level of safety for all citizens. So.
All right.
This is Roger Chapin. What Representative Workman said was very refreshing to hear. You know, he's now experienced it. He talked about this app-on, app-off coverage. And that really is the question we're trying to get answered. The state agencies won't answer that question for us, so we've asked the judge to answer the question for us. And it's not just taxis. It's every industry that's going to get this disruption. I will say that taxis is probably one of the biggest industries most ripe for this type of disruption. I get it. But it's the commercialization of personal property. It's your auto as a taxi, your home as a hotel, your kitchen as a restaurant. And when you cross that threshold into commercial activity, now you're getting paid for it. Now you're using that automobile in a more intensive way. Mm-hmm. There's financial responsibility that goes along with that. So that's really what we have to grapple with. And those are the answers we're seeking. If every one of my vehicles has a $4,000 commercial policy on it, and Uber is offloading that risk to 75% to Allstate and 25% to them, depending on how often the driver's driving, if the app's on, if the app's off, if the driver takes cash, if the driver, you know, I'd be curious if Representative Workman, God forbid, were to get in an accident when he wasn't on the app, with his personal insurance company, what would they have to say about that? I mean, there will be a policy for that someday, I'm sure. But right now, we don't have it, so we're seeking those answers.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Representative Workman and Ron Book, I'm going to ask you both to maybe, I know this isn't really fair to ask you to speculate, but sort of peer into your crystal balls. What do you see coming out of the 2016 legislative session in regards to this sort of regulation?
Well, I'll go first, Ron, if that's all right. I with the governor coming out in favor of a presumption, we're going to get several different versions of preempting rideshare / taxi business to the state. I think it will have great scrutiny in both the House and the Senate. We, although we're accused much by the locals as not doing this, we take great care in regulating things by the state level versus leaving them at the local level. Preemptions come from things like tobacco, firearms, and alcohol. Mm. And we're hesitant to make things like taxis equal to those kind of three big ones. Although we do. I mean, I think we even preempted, how cranes are regulated in the state. So we can do that. There will be a push to do that as both a legislator and a participant in the industry. My caution is not every county is the same, not every city is the same. I would rather, instead of saying how they're going to regulate it, perhaps you have some boundaries on the differentiation between the two perhaps a push to push taxis from the need of overregulation into some to lower dereg.
Let's preempt some of the market barriers. I agree. Let's preempt some of the cities and counties from the market barriers, the fare regulation, the permit cap, mm-hmm. the vehicle make and model. I'm with you.
I honestly believe that the time is upon us to do just that. I mean, we are not suffering anymore from citizens that come from other countries that have no clue of where they are. The world is small once again, and technology, mm-hmm. they know that their Hilton reservation is 3.2 miles away. If it takes them 2 hours to get there, they know they've just been robbed, and they also know who to contact because there's a database of drivers and the cab number and the Uber the same way. I just think that one thing that Uber and Lyft have done is identify the fact that we have allowed the locals to pile regulation on top of regulation to the point where taxi cab companies almost have to be monopolies in an area in order to make a living, including the drivers. And I think we'll find a way to level the playing field, not the way they're talking, not by making Uber drivers taxi cab drivers, but reducing the barriers to taxi cab drivers and allowing the private rideshare companies to operate similar but differently. And I wanted to make one more comment because there was a mistake said earlier. I don't get my passenger cell phone number. I can contact them through the app only, and I don't see their number, and nor can I get it unless they give it to me when they get in my car. That's a protection that I think has been added in the last 6 months or so. I don't get the consumer's right. cell phone number.
Gotcha. Well, we are coming up
which would be really creepy, by the way. So we have every right to bring that up.
Yeah.
Right. That would be really creepy. Well, and I don't get the number.
But oftentimes the customer does call you, and then therefore you have the number.
No, when they call me, I get this generic phone number that's out of California.
Oh,
I know it's
right.
Uber. But
so it's
when they
all
call
through
me,
the
it
app.
Comes
gotcha.
Through the app, and I don't get their number. I get the same number every time that comes out of some different area code.
That's news to me.
Well, can I say something? This is the Vice Mayor of Sarasota. At the end of the meeting, someone jokingly came up to me and said, because I had announced that I had taken Uber and I was going to take Uber home. However, the vote came out and someone came up to me and said, well, I can take you home. And I said, it doesn't work that way. it was really amazing that in the discussion that this engendered was quite fascinating as to how it works. And I agree with pretty much everything you said, that's why we deregulated at this point. First of all, I don't believe the five of us should be carving out that legislation, and then to leave Uber alone. But then again, I am very interested in everything you just said about what Tallahassee does to this, because there have to be some tenets of this that will equal the playing field, if indeed that's what we want to do, and challenge them to both
woods. I would simply say, it's Ron Book again, I would simply say, careful what you ask for, Madam Vice Mayor. Mm-hmm. I don't need to tell you how strongly the Florida League of Cities and how strongly the Florida Association of Counties oppose preemption and taking
right.
things away that otherwise belong to the home rule nature of local government.
Yeah.
The system of regulating your local transportation is purely a local issue, and giving Tallahassee the opportunity to preempt you selectively will be something that will become easier and easier and easier and easier to erode your local powers, whether those local powers relate to transportation or they relate to growth management or they relate to the regulation of your police and fire or your local certificate for ambulances.
Yeah.
You got to be careful what you ask for, because you may get what you don't want with it.
All right, well,
I think Ron Book gave me that exact. I think Ron Book gave me that exact speech 7 years ago on my election night.
Really?
I hear you. We're going to need ambulance issue, Representative Workman. You have a good memory.
But it was about everything else.
And that's why this has become so highly disruptive. This whole thing is a new paradigm. I hear you. I really do. I mean, I think it was one of our most fascinating meetings the other night, and I've never ever had such a crowd because it's we need to think about that. But think about it
in the larger context of taxis.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to walk out of your front door of your residential neighborhood, and to the left. Mm-hmm. You're going to see the third stranger this week because he's staying in somebody's extra bedroom.
Sure.
To the right, you're going to have 12 cars parked. One of them is blocking your driveway because he's selling Eggs Benedict out of his kitchen. And across the street, somebody's letting them charging to borrow the wood chipper for the day. And again, with financial responsibility comes with that. And once you start charging money for it, you know, it's a whole different ball of wax.
I want to add one thing because
quickly,
we're privileged
and then we're
to have
to
Roger Chapin on the call. And Representative Workman, Chairman Workman, referenced the Orlando system. Could you really imagine that we're going to regulate the highest tourism community in our state, the highest tourism community probably in the country, which is Orlando, Florida, home of everything tourism, but we're going to let Tallahassee remotely or some state agency remotely regulate how Mears Transportation is going to have their taxis and their limos and their corporate cars dispatched and how they can charge and how they can't charge? Let me tell you something that we should have learned from a lot of other stories. That's not a good way to do things. Keep it local.
All right. Well, we're going to leave the conversation there right now. But thank you so much to everybody who's joined us today. We've been speaking with Ron Book, attorney and Florida lobbyist, whose clients include the Florida Taxi Cab Association, as well as limousines. Roger Chapin is vice president of public affairs for Mears Transportation Group and a member of the Florida Taxi Cab Association. Rich Workman is a Republican state House representative from Melbourne, representing House District 52, and an Uber driver himself. And Suzanne Atwell is vice mayor for the city of Sarasota. We're taking a short break right now, but when we return, October marks National Bullying Prevention Month. We'll take a closer look at Florida law when it comes to addressing bullying and the importance of identifying and addressing bullying in our schools and in cyberspace. That conversation's just ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida.